Things are slightly different. I used to get complaints whenever I preached there, and it was this. If I was preaching for 30 minutes, it would take me 60 minutes because I have a translator. So I would say something, they would translate it. I would have to say it again because I'm going on to the next sentence before he's finished the first one. And they'd complain and say, "Pastor, only an hour and a half. We're used to 3 hours. So how blessed are we?" So my time don't start yet until I open my Bible. I just want to say that, Karen, I believe that this year when you went out to Uganda, it was right that you went without me and without Bruce. I think you got to see Uganda in all its glory and had an opportunity to actually be you and to see things that you didn't see and you wouldn't have seen if others had been around you. So I really do believe that you was blessed and you will be a blessing. So do that report for us and come. Now I want to speak today on the subject of praise. Now I've been looking through scripture and I'm using titles, the power of, the power of praise is what I want to speak about today. Because so often when we look at the power of God, we can just, if we're not careful, look at the day of Pentecost when there was tongues of fire and people started to speak in different languages and the gospel was preached and 3,000 got added. And if we're not careful, we just think that's just the power of God. But the power of God is in the everyday. The power of God is in the ordinary and the extraordinary. The power of God is there when we're in the valley and the power is there when we're on the mountain. And the truth is this. There are times that us as God's people, we go through tough times. Yeah? We suffer. We suffer loss. We suffer heartache. We suffer in all kinds of ways. And yet when we come to Scripture, it always leads us in a direction. It's an upward direction. Whatever happens, Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. I don't understand that in the sense that, I want to hang on to my life. Yet he's speaking from an experience of what it is. Remember, he would say to his critics, "I know what it is to be shipwrecked, to be beaten, to be forsaken. I know what it is for my friends to become my enemies. I know what it is to be a scholar. I understand what it is to persecute the way, the Christian life. Yet I've experienced this Lord, this Savior." And so for us as Christians, I want us to understand the power of the everyday and the power of praise. And I was looking through the power of praise and worship. And when I looked through praise and worship and prayer, praise and worship, and then thanksgiving and prayer, praise, worship, thanksgiving, all come together. So I thought, why waste an opportunity and let's just break it down. We've done the power of being thankful. We've done the power of a quiet life. And I want to talk to us about the power of praise, because if you look through scripture, it will tell a story, it will give you encouragement. There's men and women that have suffered, and yet they've come through the other side, knowing that their Redeemer lives. So I want to encourage you. For me, I liken it to this, and it's like a pendulum. I speak about a pendulum within the church life. And in my upbringing as a Christian, there's a pendulum, and I witnessed some things which were maybe not of God. Maybe they were, maybe it's just my interpretation. So I tried to run away from the things that I didn't feel was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I ran over this way so far that I missed what God was doing. So I've become quite, let's not get too excited. And I'm going, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God, and it excites me. It excites me when I hear a testimony. It excites me when other people get excited, when prayer gets answered. It excites me when lives get changed, when you hear testimony of someone who was in darkness and are now into light. It gives me hope. So I want us to know who we are, as the hymn said. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I'm someone that was designed to praise him. It says here in Psalm 48, verse 1, "Great is the Lord." Yes? "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." So we're the ones that are the object. We're the ones that hold him in great esteem, and we praise him for what he's already done. We may look at life and think, I've not got much to praise him for. Start reading scripture. Start looking at what God has already done, what he's already promised, and you'll see that there is a reason to praise him. Psalm 100, I read some of it last week. I'm going to read this portion this week. Shout for joy to the Lord. Now, in some cultures, I can imagine going to London with Sharon in her old church, and they wouldn't have to say this, shout for joy, because I should imagine there is such an eruption of praise and worship, the floor starts to shake. I've been in them churches. In Uganda, when they start the worship, a cappella, it's like there's a rumbling and something happens within them, and then it just explodes. What's on the inside comes out. But for me, I struggle a bit more with what will people think if I start to get excited. But the Bible says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, that's us. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. So worship is about what we sing. It's about who we are. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. If you just imagine there's a building and we're to enter with thanksgiving through praise. God wants us to be a people, I believe, that will praise his name, that will see ourselves in the way that he sees us, so that we can be encouraged and encourages. In Isaiah 60, verse 18, no longer will violence be heard in your land. God's talking to his people. Nor rain or destruction within your borders. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Picture it. The home that you're in when you go back home, the home that you're in is a place of safety, a place of salvation. Salvation, nothing broken, nothing missing. That's what salvation is. We are fully persuaded that he can do it in us and through us. And it says, your gates will praise. As you walk through your door, you know, that's your gate, or into your backyard, that's your gate. And God is encouraging us to walk through with praise. You know, there's times in my life, and I'm sure there's times in your life, where you've come up against a circumstance where the last thing you want to do in the natural is praise. But God says, praise. Praise me. Praise me not for the circumstance, but in the circumstance. As we spoke last week, not praying for the circumstance, but as we go through the circumstance. So I want to encourage us as his people to see the power of praise. Because to me, it's like praise, worship, thanksgiving. It's like if you have a backache and someone stamps on your foot, bear with me. You have a backache, someone stamps on your foot, you forget about your back because your foot hurts. Well, praise is like that. Praise, worship, thanksgiving, prayer is we take our eyes off of us and we put them upon him. And no longer do we see the us, but we see the him in us. Does that make sense? No longer do we see the circumstance, but we're above the circumstance, because praise helps us to go through and lifts us up. So whatever you're going through, and I know some people are going through tough times. And if you're not going through tough times, you have been through tough times. And if you haven't been through tough times, you're not going through tough times, you will. Why? Because we're in the world, but not of the world. So I'm here to encourage us. Yes, I want to get excited because I know my Redeemer lives. I know that he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And I want you to know that the same Savior that saved my life saved your life. That the same foundation that you build upon is the same foundation that I build upon, and it's Christ Jesus. So let's go through these few scriptures as we look into his word. In Psalms, the book of praise. You know, it's one of the longest books in the Bible. It's the book of praise. If you look at David's life in the natural, and then you look at what he's written, you can understand where he's going. I'm in the torment of life. It's as if I'm falling down through the sea, and I'm being wrapped and swirled around me and choked by the seaweed. And then he says, yet you, Lord, you come down and you pull me up. Praise pulls us up out of the pit. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One, and you are the one Israel praises. You know, we're not to praise. When we look at the word praise, my grandchildren, six of them live on site with us, so we're blessed. If you want to buy me something for Christmas, headphones would be good. We're blessed. And they would come and say, I got Star of the Week. So we praise them. Thank you. Well done. Well done. But this is a different type of praise. This is where we praise one God, one Lord, one Savior. We don't praise other lords. We praise Yahweh because he is the only way. And we praise him. So I want to encourage you to direct your praises upwards. And I guarantee, I dare to say, that as you do that, you take your eyes off of your circumstances and you put them squarely on who God says you are. That you're a conqueror, yet more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. The battle belongs to the Lord. We hear these things, we understand these things, yet times we don't walk in what God has given us. In Psalm 106:47, save us, Lord, our God. How many times have we been there? Oh, God, help me. Or is it just me? We do, don't we? God, help me. Save me, Lord. And gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Just look at this portion of scripture here. In one sentence, it's saying, save us. And then it's going on to say, we want to praise you. As we praise him, we take our eyes off of us. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Let all the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. Who's all the people? You and me. We're all the people. We're to praise him. We're to encourage one another in praise. So I want to encourage us as a church to see the power of praise. You know, the power of worship, the power of thankfulness, the power of the everyday. Yes, I want to see the dunamis of healing. I want to see the dynamis of people being set free in all kinds of things. But there is something that is powerful with praise. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal possession and uses us to spread the aroma. I like this, the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. You know, we want to be, I won't go down the road of my thoughts. We want to be a sweet-smelling aroma, don't we? We want to be a sweet-smelling aroma of God. And if you look at this picture of what would happen in those days when there was a battle and there was a triumphal possession, it's when the battle has already been won and you'd have the captain of the guard or the emperor or the king would be in his chariot with the white horses, and behind would be all the captives. Well, we're not being led. We're in the chariot. God has given us the victory. We are to be a sweet-smelling aroma. And I trust that if you grab hold of the power of praise, in whatever situation you're in, good, bad, or indifferent, as you start to praise him for who he is, you start to realize who you are. Take your eyes off of your circumstance, put them on him, and he'll help you through it. Because I quote this scripture on a regular basis. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because your rod and your staff comfort me. God's rod and staff comforts, directs, corrects. As we praise him, we take our eyes off of our circumstance and we walk through that valley experience. It doesn't mean it won't hurt. It doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean we're trying to deny what's happening. If what we're saying is, Lord, this is too hard for me. I'm going to give it to you. And as we praise him, then something in the supernatural happens, I believe, to our natural. So I want to encourage us to see the power of praise. In Psalm 30, verse 11, it says this, you turn my wailing into dancing. Now that's a tough one at times, isn't it? You know, we could say mourning, you lose someone you love, you lose a relationship, a loved one passes away. Something happens. And yet scripture says that God's able to turn our darkness into light. The way we stand into dancing. There was a situation in my life many years ago, and I used to, one of the things, I love more than two things in church, but if I could do two things in church, one would be this, and the other one would be on the door, welcoming people in. And I used to be on the door, and at this time, there's something that happened in my life which I won't go into, and I was just praising his name. And someone said to my wife, how can he praise God at a time like this when he's going through that? Well, do you know what? Because I want to take my eyes off of my circumstances and put them upon him. And for that time, something happened in me which the joy of the Lord became my strength. That's what happens. So he turned my wailing, my mourning into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. You took off that garment of heaviness, in other words, and you clothed me with joy. He clothed us with joy, that my heart may sing your praises. So when we're praising God, it's something that we say as we lift up our voices to him and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. And there's a declaration that we can make today. Lord, regardless to what I'm going through, I will praise you. I will praise you in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon. I'll praise you when I'm happy and when I'm sad. I'll praise you. Why? Because it does me good. Because it lifts me up and it lifts me out. There is power in praise. So let's be encouraged at what God says to us. In Psalm 16:9, it says, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. There again, it's something we have to do. When I first became a Christian, I used to watch lots and lots of different preachers. And there was one guy, and he said, I've been to the United Kingdom to preach. He said, and you have a style all of your own. And he said, you heard that song that goes, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He says, you sing it like this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He loves me, encourages me. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, open your mouths and sing. Now, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just repeating what he said. But God wants us to use our tongue to rejoice. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. God is coming back for a victorious church. We were dead to sin, we're now alive. We have a reason to rejoice. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your presence. Not you might fill me, you will fill me with your presence. God is at our right hand. He's always there to guide us and direct us. So, just to say, there's power in praise. In Acts 2:26, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Is your heart glad? Well, your tongue should rejoice. Hallelujah. One of the things, this is recorded, but Ken, no doubt, will be listening to this one. Now, Ken is old school Pentecostal. He comes and ministers to us, and he says something. He's expecting us to give a reaction. And he looks like this. Go on. You can be a bit more happier. It's okay to rejoice. It's okay. Even if we're feeling that we're going through treacle, as we rejoice, the treacle disappears. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. He'll release our tongues. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. That's what praise is. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. The Holy One will not see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. Look through God's word. He's made known to us. Look through the Psalms. He's made known to us the power of praise. You will fill me with joy in your presence. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy, is what Scripture says. You will fill us with joy, this power in praise. In Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61 is the Scripture that I was called into ministry on. It's something that, it's a portion of Scripture that means so much to me. But as I look through Isaiah 61, it's the gospel. It's what we preach. And it says this, starting at verse 3, to provide for those who grieve in Zion. That's the Christian. Now, there's many of us in this room that have suffered grief. We know what it is to have heartache. It says this, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, an oil of joy. God wants to replace. There's a time, Ecclesiastes tells us, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to rejoice. When that time of mourning is over, it's a time to rejoice in what you have, what we have, what God has for us, that he can strengthen us. He can give us the strength we need to strengthen others. There's an oil of joy. There's a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Instead of mourning, there's a garment of praise. And when we look at this portion of scripture, just think about it for a moment. It says a garment of praise. And it's like it's cold outside. Okay? What do you need to do? Put on a coat. So you get outside, you leave your coat inside, and you go, I'm freezing. Why didn't God just do something about this? I thought I was his child. Go back in, get the coat that's been provided, put it on. It's the same with praise. It's a garment that we need to put on. It's a mantle that God gives us. Instead of a spirit of despair, they will be called oaks of righteousness. I have a good story about that for another day, oaks of righteousness. No, I'll tell it. We moved into a place, I won't name where it is, because we're on tape, and we had a lot of oak in our house. And the reason we built the house with oak is because we are oaks of righteousness. It's what God's word says. So we're in the local pub, and someone says, oh, yeah, you're the couple that built the new house. And we said, yeah. So did you call it Oak House because you have a lot of oak? So my wife says, no, we called it Oak House because the Bible says we're oaks of righteousness. End of conversation, end of story. It just went flat, it went dead. But that's what we are, we're oaks of righteousness. God, a right standing with God, that's something to praise his name. It's staying in the Psalms 33, verse 2, it says, praise the Lord with the harp, make music. God wants us to make music with whatever we have. If you can play an instrument, play that instrument. If you can use the spoons or the comb, use them. Make a joyful noise as a part of praise. Make music to him with the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. You know, there's a time where you're in a circumstance. I've had this happen to me where you don't want to hear me sing, honestly. You don't. But God says, make a joyful noise. To me, it's joyful, and I'm sure he accepts it. But sometimes I just sing. I just sing when I'm on my own and no one else is listening. I just sing to the Lord a new song. Shout to the Lord. I do. There you go. She's praising already because there's power in praise. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. There's something we can praise him for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's about to do in our lives. There's power in praise. In Jeremiah 33, verse 11, it says, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and bridegroom, the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. His love endures forever. Not just when you're in a good place, but when you're in a not so good place. For I will restore the fountains of the land as they were before, says the Lord. God is in the business of restoration. I used to, when I was a youngster, I did an apprenticeship in car body repairs. And we used to restore classic cars. And we didn't just patch over the rot. We cut it out and we brought it back to life. That's what God does to us. He restores that part that's been stolen. When we're hurting, he restores it. He knits us back together. And sometimes it's like when you talk to men and women who have been in the armed forces and they've seen horrific things. They come away unscathed, or they have certain injuries and they feel guilty because they survived. Survivor's guilt. And sometimes I want to suggest when we suffer trauma in our lives, we can feel a bit guilty because we've survived it. But God is restoring us because there's power in praise. He restores us to the very position we were before the trauma. That's something to praise God for. There's power in praise. In Hebrews 13, 15. If you're new, I only have another 34 scriptures, so buckle in. It says this, Hebrews 13:15. I am joking. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's what it is, isn't it? They're not my words, they're his words. Sometimes it's like, I don't feel like it. Well, the Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. Yes? I don't feel like it. Well, we're not to go on our feelings. If I went on my feelings, I'd be at home still, back in bed. We go on faith. We say, Lord, lead us, encourage us. It says this, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Lord, and I want to tell you what happens. So often what happens in life is this. We start off in the natural. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise your name. And then as we start in the natural, then his spiritual kicks in. Because suddenly we're bringing back to mind some of the things God has done in our lives. And we go, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Lord Jesus, I praise your name because you said you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you said that I'm built on this foundation. That foundation will not crumble because that foundation is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, you came to save me of my sin, that I am redeemed. And praises start to rise because of the sacrifice. It's the fruit of our lips, openly professing his name, Yahweh, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. As we share with others what God has done for us, then we encourage them to lift up their arms and say the battle belongs to the Lord. Let's praise his name together. So the title of this is The Power of Praise, and I want to just encourage you. Many of you know all this stuff, but as we knit it together, as we bring it together, it has a significance that we can say, yes, Lord, I will praise your name. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe of the avenger. Just think about the children that we have in our household. Through their praises, through their innocence, there is power. And so often we can miss it because we're just focused on what the adults do. But as we praise, they will praise. And as they praise, strongholds are brought down. God blesses the adults. He blesses the children. In Matthew 21, verse 16, do you hear what these children are saying? They asked with an indignant voice. What are those children doing around here? Yet Jesus turns around. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read the scripture that I just read to you? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. And so often we can look at someone, a circumstance, a situation in the natural, and we can see them and think, how are they able to praise? Because they have a childlike faith. Because they come and they're obedient to what God says. It's not about how they feel, it's about who he is. It's not about what they've done, it's about what he's done. So we will see the power of praise as we look through scripture, as we encourage one another. In 2 Chronicles 20:21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. I love this portion of scripture because there's a battle going on. I can just send Emma and Nigel. You go out and lead praise and worship. I'll just stand at the back. The portion of scripture is saying this. As they went out and praised their God, their Redeemer lives. There's something from the natural to the supernatural. Not my words, it's scripture. They went out and all they had were their voices. You know, as we pray, as we praise, as we worship, as we give thanks, there's something of an invisible force field, I want to say, but that doesn't sound good. There's something happens in the spiritual. As we pray and we praise and we thank and we worship, something happens in the heavenlies. And it's as if there's a battle going on, but we can't see it, but God is on our case. So there's something powerful about praise. And this shows us how powerful it is. It went ahead of the army. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. That's why I'm suggesting in our lives, as we go through tough times, and if we haven't, we will. As we praise him, The enemy that comes in to rob and steal. Because we have an enemy that comes in to rob and steal. He can't get through the praises of God's people. As we're giving thanks and we're praising his name and we're praying and we're worshiping, there's something that happens in the heavenlies. And we are able to walk through tough times. So I want to show you through scripture, there is power in praise. I have three scriptures left to encourage you. In Jonah 2:9, but I, with shouts of grateful praise. Now, just to picture Jonah, he's in the belly of the fish. He's in a big fish and he's been swallowed up because he's been disobedient. And if you read the scripture before this, it says he called out to God, help me, or words to that effect. He started to pray. He started to call upon God, help me, I don't want to be here. And then all of a sudden, we read this portion of scripture. It says, but with shouts of grateful praise. Through his tough time, he took his eyes off of his circumstance and started to look at what God said. We can take our eyes off our circumstance and look at what God said. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lord, I feel so lonely. Would you come and comfort me? Lord, I feel as if I'm the only one. Would you be there with me? As he started to look, God did something supernatural. He vomited him out and said, now you understand who I am. Now, through praise, it's opened up the gates of salvation. So for me and you, just for this portion of scripture today, this power in praise. This is a very familiar portion of scripture to us as Christians. And it's about Paul and Silas praying and singing hymns to God. I was doing some research on what I'm ministering on today. And I listened to someone else minister on this portion of scripture. And he only ministered on this portion of scripture. So he took about 3/4 of an hour to dissect it. And I can't do that because of time. But it showed me something that I already knew, but I didn't see it the way I should have seen it. Because when we see this portion of scripture here, it says Paul and Silas, they're in the inner cell and they're singing hymns and all the prisoners are listening. Then suddenly there's an earthquake. Not an earthquake that will pull buildings down, but an earthquake that will loose their chains. And we think, wow. But what we don't ever consider, and what I never considered in a way that this man did, was what happened to these men before they got there. You know, when it says they were beaten with rods, they were beaten with rods. You know, there'd be a rod of iron or a rod of wood with leather straps, and the straps would tie them to a post, and they'd be beaten many times. Their bones would be bruised or broken. And then they were flogged. And I'm not going to get into the graphics of it, but it would rip your skin off your body. So this is what happened to these men. And then they're placed in the inner cell, and it says something like this. It says, and at midnight, round about midnight, it's already dark, but it's the darkest hour. And when we look in life, we very often we hear at the midnight hour. And sometimes we go through a midnight hour when it's the darkest, when things don't seem to be going our way, when our prayers don't seem to be being answered, when people have said something, done something. Life is just heavy and circumstance just seems to overtake. It's that midnight hour. What did they do? They didn't grumble and complain. Now, I might have done. I don't even know if I'd had the strength to open my mouth, but they did. So I have to believe, it doesn't tell us in scripture that something supernatural was going on when it came to God's manifestation upon these men. Because they were so badly beaten that they were near death. If you look at what history tells us about the rod and the scourge. Thrown in the inner cell, clamped in a position where they could hardly move or breathe. And yet suddenly there was a violent earthquake. Why was there an earthquake? They were singing hymns to God. They were praising him. They were praising him. And I want to suggest that if we take the power of praise from these two godly men and we look at their circumstances and their situation and we go, what was the difference between the good, the bad, and the ugly? Praise. It took their mourning into dancing. And as they started to praise God, their chains fell loose. You know, the situation didn't look so bad. I've I've experienced things in my life where, I won't go into too much detail, but there was a time where I just shut my door in a very loud manner, stomped down the road and had an argument with God and said, God, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot do this anymore. I don't understand, but I cannot do this anymore. And I'm waiting for this big profound answer. And all I got in my heart was the scripture that says, I won't give you more than you can bear. Don't you just hate that? I won't give you, but okay, I can bear it. Walk with me. As I started to praise on the way home, my circumstance, if you say my mountain became a molehill. And what was the difference? The difference was I started to praise him for what he's already done in my life and the promises over my life. My final portion of scripture, and we'll bring it to a close, is in the Psalms 1. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. That's easy to say, hard to do sometimes. But if you'll take hold of this portion of scripture, always, when you're in a circumstance, look for something that you can grab hold of, an anchor for your soul, and praise him. But don't just be silent. Praise him. If you're in the car or in the woodland or in your home on your own, just open your mouth. Open your mouth. You know, something that they used to say when I was a young Christian about receiving the power of God. And I get it. I used to struggle with it. And they say, look, if you want to receive something, you need to open your mouth and allow God to come in. You know, when we have our hands up in praise, it's almost like other preachers would say this, and I've pinched it. It's like a funnel, and you're saying, Lord, fill me, rather than fill me, as we praise him at all times with our lips. I will glory the Lord. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. So often we can miss these things. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And when we think about this, if I just put it into a, it's not the context of this scripture, but it's a context of what God says. As a Christian, when we confessed our sins, the Bible says that Jesus came and inhabited us. The Holy Spirit entered us, yeah? So we're not on our own. The Paracletus, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, comforts us. So we're not on our own. So when we look at this, we could imagine that. Glorify with me, you're not on your own. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. I sought the Lord and he answered me. That's a key to receiving. We need to look, we need to put on that garment. He delivered me from all my fears. As I started to praise him, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. Just imagine, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. Don't matter who you are, where you are, let's close in prayer, and let's be that man, that woman, that calls on him and prays him, because he'll hear us. So I want to close in prayer and just pray with us and for us as a church, as individuals. I pray, Father God, at the overflow of the heart, the mouth will sing. I pray, Lord, that today we would recognize the power of the simple, the simplistic, the power of praise, of opening our mouths and being joyful, of praising for who you are, not for what we've gone through, to praise you for what you've said about us. Lord, I thank you that you've taken the spirit of heaviness and you've given us a spirit of joy. I thank you, Lord, that you turn our mourning into dancing. That, Father God, we will praise your name. Lord, as we go into this next week, just encourage us to ponder upon, Lord, and think about the things you've done in our lives and just to simply praise you, that you would reveal to us the power that's in it. We ask, Father God, that you would enable us as a congregation when we come together to corporately lift our voices, to to not worry about what others may think, but lift our voices and praise your name. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Emma.